Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, January the 30th. And first up today, wildlife groups say they're going to continue to challenge the building of the Lower Thames Crossing after the government gave the project its support. If you heard yesterday's podcast, you'll know that Rachel Reeves confirmed in a big speech on growth they'll be looking to the private sector to help fund the £9 billion road link between Kent and Essex. Well, Kate has been getting more reaction to this story. She's been speaking to Emma Waller, who's from the Kent Wildlife Trust.
So the Lower Thames Crossing is a clear example of infrastructure planning that fails to align with the UK's environmental commitments. So the project contradicts the government's legal obligations under the Environment Act to halt species decline, protect 30% of land and sea by 2030, and achieve our net zero targets. So instead of safeguarding biodiversity, the Lower Thames project will destroy irreplaceable habitats, increase carbon emissions, and continue to long-term environmental degradation. And this is not the future that we should be building.
It's interesting you mention that, because during her sort of speech and the build-up towards it, she was really pushing that economic growth and a green future can really go hand in hand. They're not mutually exclusive. But you feel that this is not a representation of that?
No. So the Lower Thames Crossing will have the largest carbon footprint of any major UK road scheme, generating approximately 6.5 million tonnes of greenhouse gas emissions. So this will undoubtedly defy all commitments to reach our net zero targets. And while National Highways have committed to reduce carbon emissions during the construction phase by using like hydrogen fuel cell technology, it does not address the longer term operational emissions, which will still release significant amounts of greenhouse gases and pollutants into the atmosphere. So we remain unconvinced that the Lower Thames Crossing will be the greenest road, as stated by National Highways, nor deliver any meaningful environmental benefits.
And if we can look at the other side of the environmental damage, so if we leave aside for a moment the carbon emissions and things like that, what can you tell me about the loss of the ancient woodland through that corridor and what that will mean for the local habitats?
Yes, the Lower Thames Crossing will destroy up to 8 hectares of irreplaceable ancient woodland, including parts of Shorne and Ashenbank Woods, which is a designated site of special scientific interest. So to put that into perspective, 8 hectares is approximately 12 football pitches of lost habitat. So given the ancient woodland covers less than 2.5% of the UK land, the loss of any amount is unacceptable. And the road scheme will also defragment the landscape, making it harder for wildlife to move freely between the landscape.
As we also mentioned in the episode yesterday, the 14-mile road link has been in the planning stage for years. It also includes tunnels under the Thames, which would be the longest of their kind in the UK. And while environmental groups aren't happy, business leaders think it's essential for the Kent and UK economy. I've been chatting to Tudor Price, who's the chief exec of the Kent Invicta Chamber of Commerce.
The fact that there's been a commitment to move forward with this was exactly what we needed. We recognise there's going to need to be private finance, but that's not a problem. It's really not a problem, because we already know that the private investors that are sort of sniffing around on this already are looking at the model that's taking place through tolls and revenue from the Dartford Crossing. That's of appeal to them because that comes as part of the investment package for the new Lower Thames Crossing. So we're actually confident that we investors will be there, and as long as the government gets a green light and push through the planning, and we don't have the whole HS2 debacle, which doesn't sound like we will, then, you know, this is really, really good news for Kent.
Just explain to us, Tudor, why is the Lower Thames Crossing so important?
It is a significant contribution to the economy, not just for now, but also for sort of several decades to come. Because we obviously have the logistics and the transport side of things. It's really important. You know, most of the goods that travel through Dover are heading up country. You know, it's how the UK supply chain operates as a major artery. So we need to do a lot to try and keep those roads flowing. Anyone that's been stuck in Brock, whatever, will understand the misery that has. So this will help. We also need to be working for the residents of Dartford, of course. You know, the businesses up there struggling to get to and from their offices because of the congestion of the tunnel, which exceeded capacity several years ago. There's obviously the air quality side of things as well, but really what it does for the local economy is it creates a fantastic career path for young people as well. You've got some great ideas that are being implemented with hydrogen power plants and so forth, and a new technology is being used to actually build the tunnels. So there's a tremendous opportunity for schools and universities and colleges to get involved and create, you know, opportunities and career paths for the future.
Of course, this isn't going to happen overnight, and the Transport Secretary needs to sign off some important paperwork first. But how keen are you to see this project get up and running as quickly as possible?
We are super keen to make sure that we don't run into the old HS2 debacle where things grind slowly. But again, the promise is that there's going to be huge amounts of support, obviously, around the planning and decision making. We anticipate it will take several years for the ground to break, if you like, for the first spade in the ground. But that actually isn't what this is about. What this does is sends a really important signal to international investors that actually the UK is a safe place to invest their money right now. So it'll attract that inward investment. It'll attract interest from other companies, both overseas and locally. And we'll start to then encourage more businesses to make plans and invest in their own development and progress in order to meet that future demand that will be generated by this. So it has a real sort of catalytic effect on the rest of the economy.
So you've heard two different viewpoints there on the crossing, but what do you think? You can leave a message on the story at Kent Online or via our socials.
Kent Online News.
Other top stories, and former Love Island winner Jack Fincham has been released on bail pending an appeal just hours after being jailed. The 32-year-old from Swanley had admitted being in charge of a dangerously out-of-control dog that bit a runner. He was sentenced to 6 weeks in prison and fined thousands. That will now be reviewed. A Maidstone man who monitored his partner's calls and texts, checked her phone while she slept and blocked her contacts has been locked up. A court heard James Dye also sent disturbing photos in a bid to control and manipulate her. The 29-year-old from College Road was jailed for 15 months. He's also been given a 5-year restraining order. A Kent drug dealer's been ordered to pay back an initial £132,000 or face more time in prison. Michael Arishadare was sentenced to 24 years behind bars last April after being part of a Luton-based crime group that distributed cocaine, heroin and firearms. A court heard the 32-year-old from Newhythe Lane in Aylesford is thought to have made in excess of £8 million. Four men have been charged by police investigating car thefts across Kent. The vehicles were reportedly taken overnight from outside addresses in Medway, Swale, Maidstone and Ashford. The group, who are aged between 19 and 55, are due at Crown Court next month. Now, this is one of our most read stories on the website today. A Faversham woman who stole from the law firm she worked for has avoided prison. Kate's got more on this story and joins me now. Kate, why did she do it?
Well, the court was told Paula Gray took the cash out of desperation after being hounded by bailiffs. The defence solicitor explained how the 61-year-old's husband had died in 2018 and it had fallen on her to pay all of the bills. She went on to explain how Gray thinks a lot of her inability to cope has come from grief. It was also revealed she was in £40,000 of mortgage arrests, and a day before the first thefts, bailiffs had threatened to cut off her water.
And how much did she take?
Well, she stole just over £1,300 from Davis Simmons and Donaghy in Gillingham between October and November 2023. The payments were supposed to have been sent to a professional witness. When they revealed the cash hadn't been received, bosses looked into their payment history. It was then discovered the money had gone to Gray, who initially claimed her accounts must have been hacked. She was then suspended and later had her contract terminated.
And what sentence has she been given?
Well, Gray from Lower Road admitted theft by an employee. She's been given a 1-year community order and told to do 200 hours of unpaid work. She's also been ordered to pay back the remaining £568 owed to the company.
Kate, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online reports.
Lloyds Banking Group have confirmed they're closing more high street branches in Kent. The Lloyds sites in Herne Bay and Margate are among those to shut, as well as Halifax branches in Folkestone and Bexley Heath. Bosses say it's down to more of us using online banking, with on-site transactions dropping by nearly 50% over the past 5 years. A Tesco distribution centre in Kent could close after the company announced plans to cut 400 jobs. Bosses say they're looking to simplify the business, with in-store bakeries, head office managers and mobile phone shop staff affected. A consultation on its facility in Snodland is also due to take place, following plans to open a new warehouse in Aylesford. Police investigating a distraction theft in Folkestone have released a picture of a third person they want to question. A woman's told officers she was approached by a group of men outside WH Smith's and on Sandgate Road earlier this month. She later noticed cash was missing from a trolley. We've shared the image on the website and via our socials. A prolific shoplifter who stole thousands of pounds worth of goods from shops in Faversham has been locked up. Gareth Owen went on a crime spree last summer targeting Boots, Poundland, Morrison's, the Co-op and Sainsbury's. The 43-year-old, who used to live in Whitstable, has been sentenced to 2 years and 8 months. Next today, and a victim of a rogue salesman has told the Kent Online podcast how she was conned by the very friendly and pleasant man before his lies began. 43-year-old Lewis Blake from Whitstable is now in jail after claiming to be a window shutter installer but using clients' cash on gambling and adult websites. Sue Cashman was one of 89 people he targeted. She's been speaking to our reporter, Brad Harper.
So Sue, yeah, could you talk me through what happened with Lewis?
Well, I contacted him. Well, no, he contacted me, realising I needed blinds, and came round to the house and measured up. He had samples. He was very pleasant, very friendly, very nice. And I paid half of the money, which was £450, and he said that they would come in December. They didn't come in December. I emailed and asked about them and got an increasingly bizarre range of excuses that I got more suspicious of. My son and I went and looked at where the business premises were supposed to be, and there was nothing in that road. The Facebook post closed, and then I found another Facebook post saying that it was all a big scam. And through that, 82 of us gathered together, realising we'd all been scammed in exactly the same way. And some of us got our money back, I did. A lot didn't. A lot had paid a lot more than me. And after a very long, drawn-out process, he's finally been charged and sentenced and gone to prison. Good.
How did all of this make you feel?
Very annoyed and extremely angry that someone dare come in my house and purport to be doing something so useful and actually just blatantly taking my money.
Blake from Gladstone Road took almost £65,000 between August 2020 and May 2021. He's been locked up for 18 months and banned from being a company director for 7 years.
Kent Online reports.
Work is still taking place to restore water to thousands of homes across Tunbridge and Sevenoaks. Problems started on Sunday following a power cut at a treatment works site. South East Water say restoring supplies has been made more difficult by the hilly land in the area, which causes airlocks in pipes. It's been revealed the government is considering a new alternative to end the use of Operation Brock on the M20. The controversial Contraflow is rolled out coastbound between junctions 8 and 9 during peak travel times to stack lorries queuing for the port of Dover. While there are no firm details yet, roads bosses say a new approach could include digital technology and off-road sites to reduce disruption. A Maidstone school has been given permission to expand, despite concerns on the impact it will have on local traffic. The council have given Lee Academies Trust permission to add a new single-storey building at Marden Primary Academy in Goudhurst Road. But parents say the school has no off-street parking, and some people are already stopping on zigzag lines and blocking driveways. Now, next today, 8 years after it closed, work has started on restoring the famous Lee's Lift in Folkestone. More than £6 million is going to be spent on restoring the Grade 2 star listed structure. When it's back up and running, it'll transport passengers from the promenade down towards the beach. Joe Streeter is chair of the Lee's Lift Build Committee.
Certainly over the last sort of couple of weeks, there's been vegetation clearance going on. This week, we've had CCTV survey of the pipe that runs from the upper station to the lower station, from the water tanks at the top to the bottom, to see the condition of that as to whether we need a new one. So people will be seeing more presence at the site. In terms of sort of next stages of work, the various sort of key stages, some of these overlap a little bit as we progress through the works. But one of the next big things to happen will be taking the two lift cars off the tracks. They are currently sort of sat behind the lower building. They need to come off so we can restore them. So we'll be removing those towards the end of February. And then we'll be building a cafe extension, and our space is limited. That means we need to eat into the cliff face. So another key element of the works is excavating that cliff and then using a soil nailing technique to hold that cliff face sort of back. We also need to do some work on the tanks. So there's a number of tanks which are hidden, the water tanks, which are hidden under the lees and also under the lower station. With the upper tanks, we need to do some repair work on those. That means we need to section off part of the upper lees. We need to remove some planks that sit on the existing tanks, do the repair works, and then put those back together. There's also some works that will change the layout of the sort of upper station, make it more accessible, make it more visible. And then there's general restoration work. So it's a grade 2 star listed building and lift. So we want to restore that back to its former glory. Then obviously we've got the lift works themselves. So as I mentioned, we've already removed the sheave wheel. We need to put that back on, but we need to look at the sleepers. We need to look at the tracks. We need to replace the sleepers and the tracks, add some additional access points. And then building the cafe extension. As I said, you know, we've had a successful cafe running there for several years now, but wanted to make the space bigger and, you know, turn it into a space that can be used for events. So, yeah, some key stages in the project throughout the next year.
Kent Online News.
A stray cat sat to have both of his ears amputated after fears he had developed skin cancer. The 13-year-old has been living on the streets in Breadhurst before a resident asked a local animal charity to check on him. It's been confirmed his ears had been damaged by the sun and the surgery was life-saving. The NHS is calling on mobile phone companies to rethink plans for a mast on a health centre in Faversham. EE and 3 have been told they can put the 8-metre-tall pole on top of the building in Bank Street, but health bosses say they want more time to consider the implications. And finally, a Kent man has completed an epic challenge to row the Atlantic. Andy Purvis has reached Antigua with teammate Tim Cox after 49 days, 8 hours and 53 minutes at sea. The pair set off before Christmas and have travelled 3,000 miles, all in the name of charity. Well, Tim and Andy were speaking to the world's toughest row YouTube channel after reaching dry land.
So good to see you here. What a long journey for both of you in so many ways. Yeah. Getting to the start line last year, Andy, and then all the times that you've watched everybody doing the course, and now you're here too. Was there ever a moment during that where you thought, oh, why am I doing this? What was the, what am I doing here?
For me, no. I don't think so, not at all.
No. I've got a card from Kelder Wood, wrote, I think, in 2018, and it says, if you're having a really bad time, open this. If you're not, that's not the word to use, but if you don't open this, I hate you. Not really. And I thought about opening on day 4. I thought, well, if this is the worst that can be thrown at me, it's not that bad. So I haven't opened it yet. So I'm going to hopefully get Kelder to read it to me one day.
Oh, I love that. Hi, Kelder. Oh, you'll love that too.
It's been an absolutely amazing experience. We had a safe word that didn't get used.
Yeah.
We can't use,
it on then. But yeah, we've gotten fine all the way there, so that's actually brilliant.
We heard that you were having a little bit of a bromance out there.
Yeah.
We saw some pics and some videos.
We didn't hug as much as we meant to. The only hugs we had to try and get past each other, so we're so unsteady on our feet.
Well, you came in very steady and you flew your flares there with great strength.
With dignity.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So you've said some stuff already to the people back home. Is there anything else you'd like to say to anybody that might be watching this?
I think all of our supporters, of which we've had hundreds and hundreds of supporters, absolutely brilliant. Our people that donated to our fantastic charities and Abigail's footsteps themselves as a charity have been absolutely awesome. Their support all the way from start to finish has been absolutely incredible. So, yeah, thanks to all those guys. Absolutely incredible. We've raised a lot of money and we've had a way at the time. So,
just for my family, have a drink with Dad, please.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you can have a drink with Dad as well, right?
Yeah. Another one.
Yeah, another one.
Sure. Kent Online Sports.
Cricket, and it's day one of the women's test between Australia and England in Melbourne. Kent's Tammy Beaumont and Rhianna McDonald-Gay are in the playing 11. And in tennis, Kent's Emma Raducanu has accepted a wild card to play in the qualifiers of next week's Abu Dhabi Open. It's the first time the former British number one has entered an event in the prelim stages since her US Open win in 2021. Raducanu will be returning to court after a disappointing first round exit at the Singapore
Airport open. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget to follow us on socials, and you can also get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium as well. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories. If you use the promo code Nicola Everett, all one word, at the checkout, you'll get £30 off the price of an annual subscription. Whilst you're on the site today, you can check out our latest Eat My Words food review, and we'll be back with the podcast tomorrow.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.